Chronicles chapter 34. That's found on page 332 in the Bibles that are in your seats. Please turn there, or if you've brought a Bible from home, turn to 2 Chronicles 34. And we will start at verse 29. I'll give you a moment to find that so that you can read along. Second Chronicles chapter 34, beginning in verse 29. This is God's word, eternally true. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people, from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites. And he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. Here ends our reading. In your bulletin, there is a response of thankfulness printed for us, giving thanks to God for giving us this, his word. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are grateful to you for giving us this, your word. As we have mentioned already this morning, you have not left us to drift about, but rather you give us this, your word, that we might follow you, that we might know you, that we might know what your good news is. So we ask, Jesus, that by your Spirit and by this, your word, you would preach to us, and that by your Spirit, you would cause our hearts to listen, to respond, and to see what good things you lay before us. Amen. If you look in your bulletin there, you see entitled this service or this gospel lesson here, Why We're in Need of Jesus. A lot of times when you hear of needs, right now my oldest daughter is applying to colleges, so you hear of financial need. If you listen to the radio, you hear lots about need and about how somebody, whoever's singing, needs some person and can't get along and will die if they don't have this person. I think of a line from the Elvis song, I want you, I need you, I love you. That's for you, Julie. But God declares to us, and he declares to all people, every person he's created on the face of the earth, that we need him. And in particular, it's a talk. I have five daughters, from a senior in high school to a first grader. We read the Bible together sometimes, and I ask them, or we ask each other questions. And I told them this past week, the right answer is never God. You always need to give the person of the Trinity. Is it, you mean God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? Let's be specific. And God the Father wants us to know, and he teaches us in this passage, that we need Jesus. We need Jesus, and we need him for many reasons, because he can, and he alone only, can do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. You know, some of you have come here to this church at this point in your lives, and because maybe in your life there is your whole life or an area or some areas of your life that are that are out of whack, or you've landed in a place where you're saying, I didn't really want to wind up here. And in the back of your head, or maybe in the front of your head, you've asked the question, where have I misstepped? How did I wind up in this place? And your need here of guidance, which is true of all of us here. We're people who need guidance. Jesus called us sheep, and sheep need a shepherd. And so what's true of us is, and if you'd like to fill out blanks in an outline, you're welcome to do that. We're starting right here. But what's true of us is this, that we are all in need of reviewing, that's your blank there, of reviewing or learning for the first time God's law. That's true of all of us here. God has made us and He knows our frame. He knows if we do A, that it's good for us, but if we do B, that it'll be to our heartbreak. And so we're all in need of establishing some kind of knowledge of God's law, of His words to us. But some of you have come here this morning, and it's a little bit different. You may be sitting here, and you used to be in the church, but haven't been in the church for a while. And you've come to the place where you've decided, you know, that shouldn't be. That's not what I want. That's not what I want for me. That's not what I want for my spouse. That's not what I want for my family. And you're needing to renew yourself to God. You're needing to renew yourself to His church, to His kingdom. And that's what this passage is speaking to as well. That is all of us. All of us are in need of renewing, and that's your second blank there. All of us are in need of renewing or establishing in the first place our loyalties to Jesus and His kingdom. These things are both good things for us, to renew and establish our loyalties to Jesus and His kingdom, to review or to learn for the first time what God says to us about how we might live our lives. And that's what our passage this morning speaks to us about. This passage says to us, and next line in your outline there, commit yourself to following Jesus. That's the thrust of this text. There's a king, his name is Josiah. And the way God works it out, He leads His people always by a king. And this king, Josiah, comes along. And he finds in the temple, or it's found in the temple, God's law. It's probably the book of Deuteronomy that's found in there. And he hasn't known this law. And he's king of the God's people who are in covenant with God. And he realizes that they are in need of renewing the covenant with the Lord. And so God's people follow God's leader, King Josiah, here, and things begin to work out for them. They begin to experience satisfaction in their souls. Now, this is not distant from us, and we're not here this morning saying, follow King Josiah, but rather we're taking New Testament clues here. And we're looking at the fact that Jesus is the son of David, just like Josiah was the son of David. And that Jesus came declaring a kingdom. Could somebody close those blinds over there? That's driving my eyes nuts. That one, Doug, and the one over behind the keyboard will do for us. Thanks. Yeah. That's probably driving you nuts, too, seeing that shine on my head. Yeah, I'm striped. Okay. All right, now I can think. We commit ourselves to following Jesus. Because why? Because we're in need of Him. We're in need of Jesus. Just like God's people were in need of Josiah, they were in need of a leader to lead them into the temple, to lead them into faithfulness to God, to lead them in knowing what God's law said for them and their lives. So as we go along in our outline, here's the first reason we need Jesus. The first reason, number one, we need Jesus. We need to commit to following Jesus. We need Jesus because only He has the power to gather us into the temple. We see this in verses 29 and 30. King Josiah comes along and he leads God's people into the temple. Now, nobody had done this. Nobody really had the authority to do this. And if anybody else had said this, come on, everybody, and gathers all the people from Jerusalem and Judah and Benjamin and Israel above in the north, people would have said, who are you to tell me what to do? But we see here that the son of David, Josiah, the king of God's people, the one who was anointed to be king, has the power to do this. And he's effective in doing this, in bringing his people into the temple. But Jesus does this as well. Jesus has the power to gather us into his temple. And we see in John chapter 3 that we read from this morning as our declaration of the good news this morning. Jesus indicates where this power comes from. That is from the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives his people his Spirit. And he says it's like the wind blowing. You don't know where the Spirit's going to come from and where it's going, but the Spirit is effective. And he says to this religious leader, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you're not going to understand anything unless you're born from above. Unless you're born by the Spirit. Anybody, everybody here living on the earth is born of water. That is, they're born of their mother. They're born physically. But unless one is born again, unless one is born spiritually by the Spirit of God, that they can't understand the kingdom of God. They can't see the kingdom of God. And Jesus comes and he lives his life and he dies for his people and he goes up to heaven and he tells his apostles, his disciples, before he goes up to heaven, that when he goes up to heaven, he is going to send his Spirit. And that his Spirit will give them understanding. That his Spirit will be at work gathering all his people into his church. So Jesus alone has the power to do this. David didn't have the power to do this, to call down God's Spirit and cause God's Spirit to bring people into the temple. But Jesus has this extraordinary power. And the comforting thing for us is that as we have been gathered, maybe that's an indication that God's Spirit has been working in us, that Jesus' power has been bringing about in us a gathering into the temple today. And what is the temple today? Well, the temple today, here's your next line, is the church. The temple today is the church. The New Testament defines it that way. The New Testament says, hey, you know, the Old Testament talked about the temple and there were stones there and certain rooms and certain sets of furniture. That temple is you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, for you are the temple of God. The church. So the temple today is the church. And that's what Jesus, King Jesus, Son of David, has power to do. To bring you into the church. Just like Josiah has the power to gather this scattered people who had been unfaithful prior to Josiah's reign. Who had not been worshiping in the temple. Who had not been going into the temple. Who left to their own devices. Had not cared about the fact that the temple was in disrepair. But Josiah comes in and he repairs the temple. He raises it up just like Jesus raises the temple of his body. He raises up the temple and then he draws all these people to himself, the temple of God. So the temple today is the church. And Jesus, we all need Jesus because he alone has the power by his Spirit to bring us into the church. But the temple is also given another definition in Scripture. And that comes from Hebrews 9:11. It's your next line in your outline. The temple when you die is heaven. See, no matter when it is, the temple is where Jesus is. Where God is present. And that was true in the Old Testament times. God put his special presence in the temple that was built of stone. But then Jesus arrives on the scene and says, I am the temple of God. Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. See, I am the presence of God among you, Jesus says. But where is the presence of God today? In our day, it's the church. And that's why the New Testament calls the church the temple of God. But when we die, we go to be with God fully in his presence. And the writer of Hebrews describes our experience in heaven when we die as being in the temple of God. And then finally, so the temple when you die is heaven. And then finally, the temple when Jesus comes back is the new heavens and the new earth. And we read about that in 2 Peter 3. And Jesus alone has the power to bring us into the church, to bring us to heaven when we die, and to make us citizens of the new heavens and the new earth when he returns. Nobody else can do this. Therefore, we need Jesus. Secondly, we need Jesus because, number two, because only Jesus effectively brings and reviews the law with us. That's your blank, the law with us. And that's what Josiah does in verse 30 of this passage. Now, I got to tell you, the law has gotten a really bum rap. Christians in the United States give the law a bum rap and they say all kinds of things that are untrue about God's law. And God's word does not say bad things about how his law directs and guides us. God gives us his law because he's a loving father. And as a loving father, he doesn't want us to walk into heartache. He doesn't want us to make mistakes that'll be destructive to our lives. And so he guides and directs us with his law. Now, we're not saying that we have to obey the law perfectly and then we'll go to heaven. That's anti-gospel. We go to heaven because we believe in Jesus. But because Jesus loves us in this life, he gives us his law that we might not screw ourselves up and screw other people around us up, people we love especially as well. So to say this, and you've got a line there to fill out in your outline, the law is greatly beneficial to us. The law is of great advantage to us in our lives. It keeps us out of trouble, keeps us from troubling ourselves, keeps us from troubling our neighbors, and it keeps us out of heartache. My new favorite show on TV is called Worst Week. Has anyone seen that? Oh man, it's good. It's on CBS 9:30. Okay, they need to pay me for saying that. CBS does. CBS Monday night 9:30, and it's this guy who reminds me of one of you. I won't say who it is, and who's always trying to do right and make things work out. But he's lying all the time. It's like George from Seinfeld. Except George is always lying for his own selfish ends. But this guy's always lying so that it works out for everyone around him. He's really a good guy, but he's just bumbling all the time. But, you know, if you don't have God's law to guide you, you wind up in all kinds of trouble. And that's what he finds. And there was this one scene, I think it was two Mondays ago. And he was going for the first... prenatal visit, and he goes along and they're late getting to this appointment, and it's been a whole hassle getting there. And when he gets there, there's an elevator and he has to go up to the second or third floor. And so he gets in the elevator and it's kind of crowded, but this person comes through the front door of the building and says, "Hold that elevator." And he just can't wait because they're already an hour late. And so he pushes the closed door button and he says, sorry, this elevator doesn't do that. And the door shuts in front of this person. He goes up to his appointment, and when they get into the lobby, there's nobody at the reception desk. And he says, "What is this? This is really unprofessional." And then a few seconds later, the woman that he shut out from the elevator comes up and she sits behind the receptionist's desk. And, of course, he says, "Well, I know we're an hour late here, but if there's any way on your computer there that you can, like, bump us ahead fast because we've got this family portrait to get to in an hour. If you could do that for us. And she said, no, this doesn't do that here. And so they end up being the last people in the waiting room. They're the only ones in the waiting room, the last ones the doctor sees. But we see the law is beneficial to us. If we are kind to those around us, it comes back to us. It's to our benefit to follow God's law. And Jesus does this with us. He reviews for us, he teaches for us the law. And that's to our advantage. Now, thirdly, we need Jesus because only Jesus effectively renews our hearts and souls toward loyalty to God. And we see this in verses 31 and 32 here. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. And then for the people, then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. It was blessing to God's people in Old Testament times to be in right relationship with their God, to have renewed their covenant with God. And it's only when Josiah takes the helm, this king of God's people takes the helm and leads his people in this, that it actually gets done. And they get on their road to being in God's good graces and good favor. And it's the same thing with Jesus. Jesus constantly renews our hearts and our souls to be loyal to our God. For our good, for our sake, he does this. How does he do this? Jesus does this, here's your next line. Jesus does this by strengthening us. He does this by strengthening us with A, his word, the Bible. Okay, so just like Josiah does here, he reviews God's law, the Bible, with God's people, and they're strengthened and they're encouraged and they renew themselves to the covenant here. But also B, Jesus does this by his Spirit, in conjunction with the Bible. That is, we're not left on our own in our own sinful, selfish natures to try to be good. Rather, Jesus gives to all his people his Spirit, which empowers us to follow his law, which empowers us to love God and to love neighbor with all our hearts and all our minds. But thirdly, Jesus also strengthens us. In addition to strengthening us with his word and his Spirit, Jesus also strengthens us with his sacraments. With his sacraments. That's S-A-C-R-A. S-A-C-R-A-M-E-N-T-S. And we'll see this in chapter 35. What we're about to read here, what we'll read next week in chapter 35, is that Josiah leads his people in this Old Testament sacrament of Passover. And Jesus takes on, and we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes here. Jesus takes on this Old Testament sacrament of Passover, and he turns it into the Lord's Supper. He takes the meaning of that sacrament and says, this is about me and my covenant with you, Jesus says. And this strengthens us. Do you know that? That the sacraments strengthen you. They fortify you. They help you to be faithful. And that's why Jesus tells us to do these things in the church, like the Lord's Supper and baptism. And we'll see Josiah taking his people through the Passover in the next chapter here. But here's an important thing. And look at verse 33 in your Bibles there. Verse 33. Josiah moved all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites. And he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. And that's what Jesus is doing in our lives through the Word, through his Spirit, using the Word, through the sacraments that we see and celebrate. Jesus is strengthening us and he's removing idols from our lives. He's removing impurities from us. He's removing loyalties to other things, to other gods, so that we'll be loyal to Him alone. And that last line, as long as He lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. Here's the good news. Jesus has not ceased to live. That's the good news of the resurrection. That's the good news of the ascension. That's the good news of the fact that Jesus has been seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus continues to live, to be our forever King. And so we have great confidence as we read this passage. As long as He lived, well, we say Jesus is always living. Jesus will never cease to live. They did not fail to follow the Lord. So, following along in your outline, verse 33, Jesus does this without end. Bob read for us this morning from Philippians chapter 1. He who began a good work in you, God, who began a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. Jesus will continue to bring you His Word, to review that with you, to teach you in it. He'll continue to renew your hearts and your minds to loyalty to Him. Just like Josiah brought the law to his people and he reviewed it to them and brought them to renew their covenant with the Lord, Jesus does that. And Jesus does that with the sacraments. You know, that's covenant renewal when we do that. We commit to follow Jesus, to be united with Him in His suffering, to be united with Him in following Him and His ways, which may cause us suffering. This is a covenant renewal ceremony when we have a sacrament. So loyal to the Lord, faithfulness to Him is the key to things being well with our souls. That was true in Old Testament times under Josiah. And it's King Josiah that the Lord uses to bring blessing to God's people. And as God's people follow this leader, King Josiah, into the temple, they begin this era of blessing. Well, that's what's true for us as Christians with Jesus. Jesus, by His Spirit, Jesus, by His gospel, has led us into His temple, the church. And Jesus has committed Himself to watch over us, to guide us by His leadership and by following Him, our souls are well. Our souls are satisfied. So, conclusion. As we look at this passage, what is it that God is saying to us? He's saying to us this. First of all, Jesus is our King. Jesus is our King. That's your blank in your outline there. Jesus is our King. And in this passage, He says to us, let us follow Him with all our hearts and all our souls. Souls is your blank there. Let us follow Him with all our souls into the temple, into the church, into heaven, and into the new heavens and new earth. He, Jesus, just like Josiah was in old times, He, Jesus, is the key to our soul's satisfaction, to our experiencing the blessing of God in our lives here today, and then in our lives forevermore. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we are grateful to You for Your love for us in sending Jesus. Just like You sent Josiah, raised him up as a young boy, a son of David, and essentially sent him to Your people that they could continue to go on being blessed by His leadership. Cause us to be loyal to Your Son and to follow Him into Your temple, the church, and into Your temple, heaven, when we die. And finally, into our place of final rest, having followed Him into the new heavens and new earth when You, Jesus, come back one day. Cause us to be wise to follow You. Cause us, Jesus, to look to You, to renew our hearts and our minds, to review with us your law and to strengthen us by your word and your spirit and your sacraments. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.